Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is Alvin, last name Law, and I have been a motivational speaker on and off, but mostly on, since 1981. So I am a veteran professional speaker who has been doing this my entire adult life.
And you're phenomenal at it. And it should be added, you're also an actor and a broadcaster. You've done led like a total renaissance existence. I saw you a number of years on the show X-Files. And I saw you on the X-Files and I didn't recognize you. And it took me a minute. And then I had read it on Wikipedia. And I said, oh my gosh, I recognized him way back when. I recall you, did you have hair back then?
I had lots of hair back then, and I didn't have the glasses, and I didn't have the facial hair, and I was probably about 40 pounds lighter. That was 1995, and it was in the second season. The episode, if people are interested, it was called Humbug, and it was quite a shocking episode for the time, think of the era, because it featured an entire cast of people that were not what we would call normal. They were really circus sideshow performers. And the show Humbug was kind of a tongue-in-cheek reference to Barnum and Bailey, who used to do sideshows with what they called, pardon this word, freaks. And this whole show took place in a town called Gibsonton, Florida, fictional, but also retirees from the sideshows. And they needed an armless preacher, and they couldn't find one, but they found me. I'm not even really an actor, Ralph. I'm an amateur at best, but I did do one of the biggest shows in the universe in the 90s, and it was a blast to be there.
Well, it was cool seeing you on there. And so if we could just jump right into it, a lot of these kids, the purpose of today was teaching the kids about learning how to persevere through any kind of adversity. Can you tell us a little bit of, about your background and your upbringing? And you were born with your situation and how you kind of got through that, because you're a musician and, you're able to drive, you're able to eat, you're able to do so much. And side note, you're one of the happiest people I've ever met in my life. So if you can talk to the kids about your upbringing.
Yeah, so the real short version of a very long story, and it is a long story, I'm 62 years old now. In the 1960s, late 1950s, there was an inordinate number of babies being born with deformed bodies. So could have been missing a hand or fingers or toes. It could have been all four limbs. I was actually born without arms. So let me move my chair because it's really hard to tell. But when you see this, all right, this is my body. Now, when people see this, Ralph and everybody watching, you can imagine I've seen all kinds of reactions, right? People do not look at me and go, dude, you got no arms. That's awesome. They just don't really know how to feel. But what I love about my life story, you guys, is I did persevere, but I didn't realize I was doing it because I was raised in a wonderful home that taught me to be independent, taught me to use my feet. When I was a little baby, I had to learn to do things that other people had never experienced. Remember, this was 1960 when my mom raised me, when I was born. We didn't have, can't Google stuff, couldn't look it up on YouTube. Siri, what do we do? So one of my favorite examples is I couldn't figure out how to hold my baby bottle because it didn't have a cool handle, but my mom persevered and kept putting it in my crib, not this bottle, the baby bottle, on a pillow and laid me next to it on my side. For the most of the time, the first few days, I just rolled over because having no arms, I'm really good at rolling over. Hey, do you play that game, rolling down hills when you were little? I was awesome at that game. Anyway, mom just kept putting the bottle back on the pillow and rolling back on the pillow. And one morning she comes in my room and I'm sitting up in the corner and I got the bottle between my feet, sucking away, having a great time. So mom realized that these feet, these were going to be my hands. In fact, this is a hairbrush, just another quick example. I don't have any hair anymore, cut it off. But this is how I do personal care. Let's be blunt, everybody. When people see me, all they think of is disability. But let me show everybody one of my favorite things to show you, because we have to do this before we run out of time. When I do this, it changes the story very quickly. I can hear you clapping at home or at school or wherever you happen to be. Okay, real quick, why did I do the drum? Well, first of all, I am a musician, but I wouldn't be a musician if my parents hadn't persevered to push me to be as independent as possible. And it wasn't big, grandiose, fancy things like the drums. I had chores, boring stuff, you know, making my bed, doing the dishes, taking out the garbage in my teeth. That was nice. I had to accept responsibility and accountability for my life. And I swear to you guys, I never thought of it as perseverance. I just thought I was doing what I had to do in a world that was very different when I grew up and I was your age. Today, the world has changed. So you have more obstacles in front of you. I really believe that, everybody. But here's the key. We only get one life. What are we doing with it?
Man, you're, again, you're just the happiest guy I've ever met. And so do you mind if we just jump straight into some student questions? I'm getting inundated with students.
Not at all. And by the way, the reason that I'm happy, I'm like this 95% of the time. I can't say 100% because I would be lying. But the reason I'm happy is very simple for me. I'm married to a beautiful woman. I've got a son who's going to be 38 this year. I've got a great life in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I've been a professional speaker for all these years. But I learned to be grateful for what I have, not what I am missing, theoretically. That's where the joy comes from, brother.
That is a phenomenal quote. Wonderful quote. One of our kids emailed me, and they emailed me this early on, and I want to know this too. What motivated you to start sharing your story with others? Because not only are you a speaker, you're an author. You've done so much in your life. What motivated you to share?
So there's a quick anecdote that is very true. All my stories are true, by the way, obviously. And I don't want to suggest that anybody would ever tell a false story. But hey, there's lots of folks out there. My mom says I started speaking in 1963. I was 3 years old. Honestly, it was true. Mom would have people come up and say, "What happened to your little boy?" And she would say, "Ask him. He's got a voice." I started telling people what happened to me from a very early age. So in a sense, I've always been educating, but it wasn't because I wanted to talk about myself because I was conceited. It was because I felt there was a need to educate the people of the world, not just about Alvin Law, but about people that are called, in this case, disabled. Technically, I started doing this as a teenager because I did a lot of fundraisers and telethons in Canada and the United States. And I would display my talent of the drums. I also play the piano too. I didn't bring that one up today. But the reality is I wanted to tell people about me, not because of some idea that I wanted to be a speaker. That was never in my plan. My first job was actually being a disc jockey. So I was on the air at a radio station in Canada, and that radio station gave me public exposure. So I started getting invited to luncheons to be a speaker, be a master of ceremonies at dinners. And I would tell funny stories about my life without arms. All of a sudden, someone made a point, "You know, you could do this for a living." And that is exactly what I did in 1981. I just quit my radio job and went out, and I've been doing it ever since.
And you've been dominating. And I think that you're a national treasure of Canada, up there with like Terry Fox. I was a big fan of Terry Fox back in the day. And we can't thank you enough for spending time. As a teacher, I wanna see if you can just impart some wisdom on the students, because some of these kids are going to go off to college soon and they're going to face their own kind of adversity. What kind of advice would you have for them about when the adversity comes their way?
Well, first of all, leaving home to go to college should be the most exciting day of your life. I know some people are afraid of it because of all the stuff that goes along with leaving. And maybe you don't feel ready to be out on your own. I don't know you personally. All I know is at 18 years old, this is a very personal story. You ready? At 18 years old, I couldn't even go to the washroom by myself. I could do what I had to do in the washroom. We will leave that one alone. But I had yet to discover special clothing. You can't tell. I'm going to stand up one more time. I love wearing shorts, okay? Not to be stylish, but because I use my legs so much, it would be like you wearing long sleeve shirts all the time, especially when it's warm. So I like wearing shorts. What you can't see is there's elastic waistband on these shorts. So when I want to put my own clothes on, I do a bit of what I call my yoga dance. So I literally do this. and I've been practicing. It moves the elastic of my pants up to my hips. And then I use like a top of a chair, a toilet seat, a knob on a drawer, whatever's handy to pull it up the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. My shirts, as you can see, are untucked. I just throw them over my head, jiggle around, and I can dress myself. You might imagine that was one of my biggest obstacles in life. Think about it. You take getting dressed and going to the bathroom for granted. I couldn't. I actually had to ask people, even strangers, to help me before I learned how to do these pants. Help me undo my button and my zipper. I would go in and go to the washroom. I'd come out and they'd help me do them back up again. Imagine the courage and the self-esteem needed to be able to pull that off. Now, maybe that's me. I was not afraid of the future. I was excited about the future, and so should you. You have an entire life in front of you. How about thinking of it like this? I didn't bring my book down to show you, Ralph. I'm sorry, I forgot. I do have a best-selling book. Think of your life as the author of your future. What would your book look like in 20 years? Do you know what that story is going to be? I doubt it, but you're writing it as we speak. Don't be afraid. Be excited. You can do this. Just say to yourself, Alvin said I can. Yes, I can.
And Alvin is one of his books is called Five Steps to Overcoming Anything. And you can check that out on alvinlaw.com. So one of our kids wanted to know, and we'll go with a few more student questions, then we'll let you go. They want to know, can you tell us about some key challenges that you faced growing up without arms and how you overcame those?
Yeah, and they weren't easy. I kind of downplay it a little bit because I'm a professional speaker and I don't want to get bogged down in bad stuff. But what the hardest part for me was, imagine, all right, I was learning what I would never be able to do. And that's not unique. That's not just because I have no arms. But for example, I love sports. And I'm going to itch my nose. I love sports. I'm caught up in the National Hockey League right now. The playoffs, Golden Knights in Vegas are doing very well. I'm a Calgary Flames fan. Anyway, I wished I could play hockey. So I tried playing hockey. My dad bought me an old used pair of skates, putting me on some ice and pushed me so I could learn how to skate. My dad didn't know how to skate. He was British. Anyway, I fell on my face. It hurt. I realized I was not going to play hockey. I couldn't play basketball. I couldn't play football. I couldn't play baseball. I could play soccer. I was really good at that. Bonus, never got the penalty for touching the ball with my hands. But I was no good at these things. That took away a lot of spirit from me, all right? I couldn't hang out with my friends. I couldn't ride a bicycle. As I got older, I couldn't get a date. I'm heterosexual. I couldn't get a girlfriend to hold my hand. Isn't that weird? That's my hand. Now, today, I am married. You should meet my wife. She's stunningly beautiful. How did that happen? Well, I don't think it's the biceps. Attitude can be a magnet in both directions. Positive attitude can pull people towards you and want to be around you. Negative attitude can repel people and push them away. I always had a spirit for life. It's just the way I was. It's the way I grew up. I was so blessed to have that. And that led me through all the tough times. Did I get bullied? A little bit. Did I like it? No. But it wasn't so terrible that it took the spirit out of my life. And the key to everything was playing my music. When I discovered I could play music, my first instrument, Ralph, the trombone. How did that even happen? It's a miracle, really. A music director in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, Canada, mounted a trombone on the side of a chair with metal rods and clamps that I played with my foot. Simple as that. I got into band. So when I was not happy with my social life, I would go to the basement and practice my instruments. Actually, that leads to a question for all of you. What are all of you doing to prepare yourself for a future? What are you practicing? Are you, you know, there was a statistic, this is scary, and I don't mean to be an old fart, okay? Pardon the grammar. There was a statistic I discovered in research not too long ago that the average teenager spends 84 days collectively in a calendar year on their device. 84 days, between 10 and 12 hours a day for some young people. I'm not criticizing you. I'm asking, what are you gaining from your device versus what are you losing?
That's a wonderful, I mean, we should add comedian, philosopher, like there you go. Guys, great questions. Keep them coming. We have a few more and then we're going to let Alvin go because I know it's getting kind of late where some of you guys are at. one of the students emailed and they want to know, can you provide insights on building a supportive network and finding mentors who can help navigate our journeys as students?
Well, first of all, never hesitate to ask a mentor. You'd be surprised. I mean, Ralph, how did we meet? You simply sent me a note. Would you be willing to do this? Sure. It's no big deal. We're everywhere. We're there. We're those of us that we call ourselves mentors. You be surprised where they hide or not hide. There's so many people that are willing to help young people grow and thrive. But you said something that has been a huge item for not just a couple of decades, for the entire time we've been alive on planet Earth. You become who you spend time with, right? You become who you spend time with. Now, what does that mean? I'm not suggesting it's easy to find good friends, but here is one of the keys to my belief system. Do you volunteer? Have you done any volunteering? Volunteering changed my life. Volunteering for fundraising, volunteering for telethons, volunteering for committees and organizations. Volunteering means you're meeting like-minded people who have a perfect, perfect way of looking at the world. And it is this, Ralph, it's not about me. When you can find people whose philosophy is it's not about me, you find caring, sharing, and just compassionate human beings. That's who you should be hanging around with. You know, I'm going to take a flip the coin real quick here for another example that is scary. Why are gang lives so controlling, but so appealing to so many people that don't have quality of life? Because they don't know what it feels like to be included or to feel important or to feel like they've got a need for being. We're all emotional people, Ralph. We all want to feel like we're loved and cared about. I can't begin to tell you how important it is to put yourself in a circle of good people, and your life will follow that trail.
Excellent, excellent. You know, and you're a world changer. And I know you're very modest and polite about that, but you're one of the kindest people I know. And, you know, I have a lot of love and kindness towards you and Darlene, and you're volunteering with all the kids throughout the years. And, you know, we can't thank you enough for that. I wanted to see if you could touch on, how do you handle moments of self-doubt or discouragement? Because I know that that's human nature. A lot of these kids on here, they might have that. They're going to have that.
Mr. Superpower here, I was affected by COVID just like everybody else, all right? On a very personal business note, prior to COVID, my corporate work, which makes me a pretty good income, I'll just tell you that, okay? It's amazing how much you can get paid to be a speaker if you're good at it. My personal number before COVID was somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 to 125 speaking events a year. Those went away completely. I had 60 bookings on my calendar in March of 2020 that just disappeared. Nobody were having any meetings, right? You remember that? I can't believe how some of you made it through. I can't either. That really hit me. I went into a sincere depression, the real kind. So it's real. Let's not make light of mental health. We need to take real care of ourselves. And what my wife and I did, all right, when we knew we couldn't do anything about this, we spent our extra effort on trying to just appreciate our lives. We enjoy spending time together. That's one of the lucky things of marrying who I married. We're best friends too. We really are. Pardon the cliche. We spent a lot of time doing things we'd never done for years, playing board games, playing card games, getting hooked on Netflix. You know, all this waste of time, it really was, but what else were we supposed to do? We also love nature. So we're very lucky. We're right next to the mountains in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. We spent a lot of time going out on hikes, taking the dog out, learning to remind ourselves that Mother Nature was not doing something mean by bringing on this COVID. It was simply a result of health that is prevalent all over the planet. And it was scary. But I think no matter what you find yourself challenged by with your mental health, find something that rejuvenates your soul. Listen to some good music on your AirPods. You know, go out and play a game of pickup basketball. Volunteer at a homeless shelter, or go take care of animals at an animal shelter. Whatever it takes to remind you of how lucky we are to be alive is how we all need to treat those really tough moments, and they are real, but I am very, very lucky. And by the way, one more thing, I may be married and some of you may not be in a relationship that might make you feel lonely. I want to caution you. Don't just go out and make friends or go out on a date with somebody because you're desperate for love. In my case, when I met my wife, Darlene, I was a single father to a five-year-old. Imagine this. Okay, I'm a 30-year-old man. I got no arms. I'm losing my hair. I'm gaining a gut. I got a five-year-old kid from a previous marriage that sucked. And now I'm alone. What do I do? Well, I sure didn't computer date. But I managed to meet Darlene, my current wife, at a conference that I was speaking at. We hit it off. She was on the committee. We had a couple of glasses of wine together, I'm not going to lie. And we just clicked. But who knew? 6 months later, we would be living in the same home. And July 2nd, 2023, Ralph, we're having our 30th wedding anniversary. I am so delighted to tell you good news. But I'm telling it to you because none of you should ever believe you aren't deserving of love and compassion and caring people in your life.
That is phenomenal. And congratulations. Please congratulate Darlene as well.
I will.
You are absolutely wonderful. Before we let you go, I always ask this question to all of our guests. Is there any advice that you could give to these kids? Last thing, the final advice that you give to these kids as they go off into the world and figure out what they want to do.
Well, there was an expression that my parents told me the whole time I was growing up. I got really tired of it, but here it is. There's no such word as can't. Just get it out of your dialogue box. Believe in yourself. But here's the key. You control your destiny. Okay? The world may not feel like it, but you are the one in charge. You are the one that is responsible for your future. And when they say dreams can't come true, that is not the truth. I've had dreams come true over and over and over again. In fact, let me finish by telling you my favorite story of this year. I was referencing it a bit, Ralph. I'm not sure if you'll be able to share the link. But last November, I and Darlene and I traveled to Tokyo, Japan for a concert called the True Colors Festival Concerts. It was an event that was supposed to coincide with the Tokyo Paralympics. But remember what happened in 2020? No Olympics, no Paralympics. They did happen in 2021, but no spectators. So there couldn't be any involvement in the opening ceremonies. I was actually supposed to play the drums in a quartet. And there was a few other bands that were going to be there with disability to open the Paralympics in Tokyo, but that didn't happen. However, they kept the contract and the headliner of the concert, Katy Perry. Yeah, Katy Perry. You may know who she is. I'm familiar with her. I can't say that I'm a big Katy Perry pop fan because I'm 62, but I got to meet her. I even got to dance with her on the finale, and I got to play the drums in front of 9,100 people, two nights in a row in this beautiful theater with three of my other bandmates. The guitar player, Jonathan, had no arms, played the guitar with his feet. The piano player, Rachel, blind, played the piano with her hands, of course, but blind. And the lead singer, Tony, from Australia, paralyzed in a wheelchair, sang like Frank Sinatra. And it was an incredible event. At 62 years old, all I could think about was, when I was 16, I wanted to be a rock star. Took me till I was 62, but I made it. You can, folks, just say it. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can is right. There's no such thing as can't. And we can't thank you enough, guys. Check out alvinlaw.com. Alvin will be in touch. And before I end the meeting for all, I'll end it in a second. I'm gonna ask everyone, can we all unmute? And can we say thank you to Alvin for taking time out of his valuable day to come talk to you guys? Thank you so much for the inspirational words, sir.
My pleasure, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.